first race of Gen 3, surprising podium, and so much more. My name is Luke, and you are listening to Formula Electrifying Podcast. Hello, my fellow electrifiers. Welcome back to another episode of Formula Electrifying. In this episode, of course, we're going to talk about the Mexico E-Prix. And finally, after all this waiting, we saw how the Gen 3 cars perform on track. Let's not forget, it's the new generation of Formula E. A brand new era with new visuals, new graphics, new theme song, new sound effects, and a new presenter, maybe. In this race, we have Oliver Askew, who of course is the former driver of Andretti, replacing the role of Dario Franchitti, the three-time Indy 500 winner. Although I'm not sure if it's a one-off or it's a permanent thing. Anyway, let's move on to the weekend. During practices, we saw a couple cars having problems, on the Jaguar side especially. But what really came as a shock is that when we head into quali, the huge favorites in the pre-season testing, the DS-powered Maserati and DS Penske, didn't make it into the duels. And somehow, Andretti was flying on the track, getting both their cars into the duels. But guess who also get into the duels? Jack Hughes in the Nissan-powered McLaren, Fenestres in the Nissan, and Dan Ticktum in the Neo. They all made it into the duels. But that's far from over, because two of the old gods, Sebastian Buemi and Lucas Degrassi, they both entered the duels. But you know what's more crazier? Both Andretti somehow screwed up their lap and allowed Degrassi in a Mahindra to qualify on pole. So in the end, that's Lucas Degrassi starting on pole, while Jake Dennis the follow-up have to qualify with a broken front wing. Jake Hughes starting third with the light, and Andrea Lotter starting P4. And then we have Dan Ticktum in the Niels starting at P5, Pascal Wollin P6, Sebastian Buemi P7, Sacha Fenestres P8, Antonio Felix da Costa P9, and Mitch Evans in P10. At the race start, they were fairly peaceful in Formula E standard, but there went Robin Fiennes into the barriers, which bring out a safety car. And just when the race were about to restart, Bird have a drive shaft failure, so the safety car was back again. But after that, it's real racing time, and the race is somehow quite peaceful in a way. Of course, with different attack mode strategies, we don't really know what's going on as this is a brand new addition into the race, but overall, it's a good race. At some point, Dan Ticktum was penalized twice, first one for the overpowered, which means his outputs were once above 300 kW, but the second time was for gaining an advantage by leaving the track, which I assume might be cutting the chicane. Mortara spun out at turn 1 at some point, and late in the race, we've witnessed Degrassi pull off a fantastic defensive drive, keeping the attacking Jack Hughes and angry Lotter behind, and eventually kept his place on the podium. But one big improvement of the race, I'd say, is that it has proven that the Gen 3 cars don't like collisions. In this race, we have Jeff, Vandoorne and Buemi all damaged their front wing at some point. So I'd imagine when we went to DRA next round, the race would be much more cleaner, as the drivers discovered they cannot bend wheels anymore. Alright, move on to the winners and losers. It would seem that in Mexico, Andretti got a huge advantage compared to other teams, and the factory team, Porsche, did a great job as well. But considering Porsche's dominance in Mexico last season, I'm afraid it might be an one-off. But still, the huge winners in Mexico is of course Andretti. Another winners I would say is Mahindra, as we all know their struggle in the last few seasons. But for them to get a podium with its brand new regulations, I'm sure they left Mexico with a very positive attitude. Are the losers in Mexico, you ask? Of course, it'd be Jaguar. They've had a very disappointing weekend. They pretty much started the season as the same way they did last season, which is nowhere. Mitch Evans was somewhere on the grid, while Sandberg had terrible luck, suffering from various issues in the practice, had to qualify with a half-set-up car, and the car let him down in the race. Seriously, this man needs some fortune. But aside from Jaguar, the DS Power teams were probably scratching their heads, as we the aliens were scratching our heads because we don't know what happened in Mexico, but the DS cars were just not competitive at all. But historically speaking, the DS powertrain was fairly competitive in Diria, so let's hope next weekend they'll turn it around. Now, if you didn't notice, I've put my race prediction on my Twitter, because I totally forgot to make them in the previous podcast. So the first one is, both Niels into the duels and get points. To be fair, Dan Ticktum made it into the duels, and the odds are, if he wasn't penalized, he would end up in top 10, for sure. And the second one is, DS teammate drama. Obviously, we only knew that Jeff hit Fenestress and lost that front wing. However, what we didn't know is how Van Doorn damaged his front wing. So maybe, there's a 1-2 million chance that I'm right, because maybe Van Doorn hit Jeff, I don't know. It's just an educated guess. So maybe we do have some DS teammate drama, just we don't know it yet. And the third prediction was, Evision outperforms Jaguar, their factory team. But this came easy as Sandberg just retired early on in the race. As for the predictions of the next weekend, I'll say first, the DS powertrain cars will rise up, definitely on the podiums. Second, I would say Neo points. Last but not least, I'll go for Sandberg will win. And as usual, stay tuned to find out how wrong I am. As for some final thoughts, the drivers are saying that it's actually harder to overtake because the tires didn't offer a lot of grip, which make it hard to apply the throttle, which seemed to be the contrary of what we were promised for the Gen 3 cars. On the other note, I think there were reports that Jeff and Fenestress actually experienced a battery drawdown at the end of the race. So now we know Gen 3 cars can race, but they still have issues. Whether it will be fixed still remains to be seen in the future. My name is Luke and you are listening to Formula Electrifying Podcast. If you like what you're listening, like, subscribe, all that stuff. What's your take on the first Gen 3 E-Prix? Send them to looktheformulaefanatic@pm.me or just PM me on Twitter. And I'll see you after Diria. Bye!